Late on Friday night, the Trump administration announced new restrictions on transgender troops serving in the military. As NPR's Tom Bowman explains, the announcement comes as Trump's previous ban on transgender service members is still tied up in the courts.
First of all, nothing's going to happen right away. The federal courts have blocked any ban on transgender troops. And Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said today he's not going to talk about it for that reason. He also said he outlined his reasoning for the new policy in a memo, but it is confusing and there are a lot of questions. Now, Mattis said in his memo that there are, quote, substantial risks to allowing the recruitment or retention of those diagnosed with gender dysphoria. He said such people could, quote, undermine readiness, disrupt unit cohesion, and impose an unreasonable burden on the military that's not conducive to military effectiveness and lethality.
That's NPR's Tom Bowman. And now we're going to talk with one of the thousands of current transgender service members. Brian Fram, who also goes by Bree, is a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start by asking you to respond to what we just heard from Tom Bowman. The Defense Secretary Mattis says transgender service members could undermine readiness, disrupt unit cohesion, and impose unreasonable burdens on the military. Has that reflected your own personal experience?
Not at all. I think all of those are areas where you can look at the data and see just the opposite is true. I want to start with a personal story about unit cohesion from the time that I came out when the Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, announced the policy change. I was working in the Pentagon, and as soon as he finished up, I sent a letter to my colleagues as well as made a public Facebook post that explained that I was transgender and why I was coming out.
I should say Secretary Ash Carter was President Obama's defense secretary who made the announcement that transgender troops could serve openly. And on that day, you came out to your unit. What was their reaction?
I did. So I was concerned about what the reaction might be. And I ran off from my gym, hit the elliptical machine, and probably burned the motor out with all the nervous energy that I had. But when I got back to my desk, the reaction was amazing. One by one, the people that I worked with in my office said, "It's an honor to serve with you." And I was floored because they had it backwards. It's an honor to serve with all these great men and women in the United States Air Force that are so accepting and understand that it's about getting the mission done, not about who you are. It's about what you can bring to the table and making sure you have each other's wing.
Do you think other service members across the branches of the military are all going to have an experience as positive as yours was?
So unfortunately, no. I certainly was very lucky in what I had, and reactions vary. However, with good leadership, there's nothing that can't be accomplished. If the leader sets the climate and sets the culture of the unit in such a way that everyone's contribution is valued and respected, the unit will follow along with that because we understand the value of just getting the work and the mission accomplished.
The policy announcement specifically cites gender reassignment surgery, or gender confirmation surgery as some call it, as a disqualifying factor. Do you think the focus on medical requirements is fair?
I don't think so. What you do by focusing on medical procedures, for the first place, is potentially turn transgender individuals into second-class citizens. As members of the military, we are afforded all medical care deemed necessary by a doctor. If you say that one class of citizen is unable to get that, you're separating them out and potentially setting them up for stigmatization or discrimination.
You waited to come out until Defense Secretary Ash Carter made the announcement of the policy change under President Obama. What does it feel like now to have a subsequent president say, we may try to roll things back to where they were before?
It's disheartening. For me, I know that I've been in the military a long time. I'm going to make it through this. I have a lot of resources at my disposal. But for the 19, 20-year-old person that's hearing that they're not wanted, that's a contributing factor to things like the depression or suicide that some people outside the military, you know, experience because they're just not accepted by anyone. The military for transgender people is actually an amazing protective factor for those things because as an accepting institution that provides medical care and a mission, a sense of purpose, and most likely the Defense Department is the largest employer of transgender people in the world, it's an absolutely amazing opportunity for us to get out there, serve, and be respected for who we are and what we bring to the fight. So having someone say that you're not wanted, well, it hurts a little bit.
Lieutenant Colonel Fram, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Fram, who also goes by Bree, has served in the Air Force for more than a decade and is also the policy chair for SPARTA, an organization that represents active duty transgender service members.